This is Ray Hanania's Column Commentary Podcast, which is available on Middle East issues and issues of American politics. You can get information at thearabdailynews.com for the Middle East side and at illinoisnewsnetwork.com for my mainstream political column. Obama follows in Clinton's shadow to build the pro-Israel legacy. For the Arab News in Saudi Arabia, September 30th, 2016. Many Arabs believed newly elected President Barack Obama would rebalance America's heavily pro-Israel foreign policy, including establishing a Palestinian state. In fact, Obama didn't disappoint the Arab world or Palestinian expectations when he embraced Palestinian rights and acknowledged Palestinian suffering during an unprecedented speech in Cairo 6 months after winning election in November 2008. 7 years later, though, Obama found himself in the ruins of the two-state solution and the Middle East peace process, doing what his Democratic predecessor, Bill Clinton, did as his own term ended, currying Israeli forgiveness to strengthen his post-White House legacy. Clinton spent his entire 8 years nurturing Palestinian-Israeli peace only to watch it vanish. In 1993, Clinton convinced Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin to shake hands with PLO leader Yasser Arafat. It was a spectacular moment that I personally witnessed at the White House with the naive hope it would end decades of American anti-Palestinian bias. Clinton, however, blamed Palestinians for the failure of the last-minute and rushed 2000 Camp David peace process he initiated before leaving office. During that time, he gave Israel a record-setting $3.12 billion in aid. Was that for forgiveness? What a trophy it would be for any president to finally resolve the Israeli-Palestine conflict. But how to offset the cost of failure, which is so disappointing and damaging to a legacy like Clinton's, which was overshadowed by controversy and the sex scandal involving Monica Lewinsky. After peace failed, both presidents, Obama and Clinton, did an about-face at the end of their terms after pressuring Israel to achieve a peace that they wanted to put on their mantle like a trophy. They didn't get that. It is disappointing to see both presidents do the same thing, fight for Palestinian rights and Middle East peace for much of their years in office, and in the face of failure, take the safe route out by showering Israel with support so they can have a positive legacy supported by the pro-Israel movement. At the end of his term in 2000, Clinton tried to force Palestinian President Yasser Arafat to accept a flawed peace accord that was drafted in private meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak by the biased Dennis Ross, who years later acknowledged he is a Zionist with his allegiance to Israel's interests, and President Clinton. Arafat was justifiably skeptical in going to Camp David in July 2000. The Y River Agreement, signed by Arafat and Ehud Barak's predecessor, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, spelled out specific actions that Israel was to take, but Israel never took, including withdrawal and the release of Palestinian prisoners. After being elected to replace Netanyahu in 1999, Barak was desperate to achieve a peace accord acceptable to Israelis, but not to appear too conciliatory to the Palestinians. That's where Clinton came in as an effort to salvage his own legacy. As a consequence, Barak only met face-to-face with Arafat twice, including only one time during the so-called Camp David negotiations with Clinton. Camp David wasn't a negotiation at all, but a dictate from Barak in consultation with Clinton and Dennis Ross that was handed to Arafat. Ross conferred with Barak and Clinton to deliver a peace plan that Israelis would accept in the hopes of strengthening Barak's chances for political survival. the plan relegated Palestinians to a state that would remain managed by Israeli soldiers in three Bantustans, allow Palestinian custody of Muslim holy sites in East Jerusalem, but refused to take the Palestinian refugee right of return seriously. With Arafat's rejection of the dictate, Barak's government collapsed, and in the new elections in 2001, extremist Ariel Sharon was elected prime minister. Sharon has used violence to raise the apprehension of Israelis, provoking Palestinians by visiting the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Surrounded by an army of police and soldiers, Sharon declared the compound would always remain in Jewish hands. Clinton left office without achieving peace between Israelis and Palestinians. It was a peace Clinton needed almost as much as Israelis and Palestinians. In January 1999, Clinton was accused of having sex with an intern, Monica Lewinsky, at the White House over a period of several years during his first and second terms in office. It overshadowed everything he tried to do. Congress impeached Clinton, but the Senate declined to indict him, even though he repeatedly lied to the public, claiming he never had sexual relations with Lewinsky. A peace accord might have whitewashed away that stain from his legacy. Obama walked into the Middle East abyss with his eyes wide open and with the power of a strong mandate from the American people to do what he wanted and needed to do. Delivering a powerful speech in Cairo to the Arab world months after being sworn in as the 44th American president, Obama expressed passionate sympathy for Palestinians who suffered in pursuit of a homeland, he said. Declared Obama, "The situation for the Palestinian people is intolerable, and America will not turn our backs on the legitimate Palestinian aspiration for dignity, opportunity, and a state of their own." Hearing Obama deliver the Cairo speech in June 2009 was as powerful as watching Rabin and Arafat shake hands in 1993. The declarations rankled Israel, fueling a long-running battle that hit a record low in 2012 when Netanyahu all but endorsed Obama's Republican challenger, Mitt Romney. With 3 months remaining in his term as the world's most powerful leader and with Middle East peace hopes dashed, Obama gave Israel the largest military aid package in U.S. history, $38 billion or $3.8 million a year over 10 years. It's a steep price to enhance his pro-Israel legacy. I'm Ray Hanania, and this is my column commentary podcast. I have several websites online where you can get information, rayhanania.com, themediaoasis.com, thearabdailynews.com, and illinoisnewsnetwork.com. You can always friend me on Facebook at RG Hanania. And, of course, you can send me an email at rghanania@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.